Thank you, Henry. I'm Lakshan Adhikari from University of Georgia. I'm a PhD student at the Department of Institute of Plant Breeding, Genetics and Genomics. I work under Dr. Ali Mishrawi. We have a forest genetics and genomics program there. Basically, we work in 8 forage species, and for my PhD, I work in alfalfa. And today, I'm going to tell you a story about part of my dissertation research. We are trying to make a linkage map for pseudotestrus population in alfalfa. Some of us may not be familiar with alfalfa. Alfalfa is a perennial cool season C3 legume crop, and it has ploidy level. It has either diploid or tetraploid ploidy level, and it has genome size up to 1 gigabase pair. Alfalfa is a cross-pollinated crop, is like other grasses and legumes. They are mostly cross-pollinated, and basically it is pollinated by insect, the bumblebee. As a legume, alfalfa fixes a lot of nitrogen. Several studies indicated that alfalfa stand can fix about 300 pound nitrogen per acre per year. In the image, we can see the alfalfa flower, and there is my alfalfa research plot at Watkinsville in Athens, Georgia, and alfalfa seeds. Alfalfa is the most widely grown forage crop, and it is grown almost every country in the world, and in the almost every state in the United States. On the map, you can see there are 10 different spots, orange spots, that are the states that grow most of the alfalfa in terms of national acreages. And in terms of acreages, it is the fourth most grown crop in the United States after wheat, soybean, and corn. And USDA report indicated that the productivity of alfalfa is 3.3 ton per acre, alfalfa hay actually. So in my dissertation, I focus basically in two traits, that's the fall dormancy and cold hardiness tolerance. Fall dormancy is the growth suspension of certain alfalfa genotypes once we get reduced photo period and temperature in the fall. In the image, in the left side, we can see the reduction of alfalfa biomass once the season switched from the summer to the fall seasons. And on the right side, there is a plant that is being heavily affected by cold stress. Many scientists have indicated that the cold stress tolerance and alfalfa dormancy are correlated traits. As the plant is more dormant, it is more tolerant to cold stress or more cold hardiness. And the non-dormant plants are basically cold susceptible. But some of the recent studies indicated that this is because of the long-term selection, and we can analyze this trait independently. So to develop some genomic resources like linkage map, we have certain genomic features in alfalfa, but that are not sufficient. I mean, the alfalfa have limited genomic resources. We don't have physical map, but frequently we use the Medicaco truncatula physical map to analyze the alfalfa genomics problems, because the Medicaco truncatula is the closest relative of alfalfa and is a model species. And we do have a lot of synthetic varieties. There are almost more than 200 alfalfa synthetic varieties in Canada and the United States. We have a lot of traditional marker, EST libraries, candidate genes, some and certain linkage maps and QTL maps for alfalfa. That is why the objectives of my research is to construct the genetic map and in the future in the QTL map for fall dormancy and coal hardiness in alfalfa. So here is the overall experimental design. To develop mapping population, we selected a highly dormant 3010 genotype that we got from Canada, and highly non-dormant, the CW1010 genotype we got from California. And we developed pseudo test cross populations of 190 F1 hybrids. And we planted them in two locations in Watkinsville, Athens, Georgia, and Blairsville, in three replication at RCBD design. So since our long-term goal is to find QTL for dormancy as well as cold hardiness, we started to phenotype and genotype of our mapping population. For fall dormancy phenotyping, we have 11 standard seq plans for alfalfa. So once we planted our mapping population, we also planted these seq cultivars, and we compare the fall regrowth after autumn clipping. Generally we do on 21st of September, and we take a regrowth height after autumn clipping after 4 weeks of our autumn fall clipping, and we compare the dormancy of seq plants with the regrowth height to determine the fall dormancy of our populations. Similarly, for cold hardiness or frost damage or chilling stress damage, whatever people use synonymously, we applied two methods. One is visual scoring at the field, and one is we screen our population in Watkins freezers. We also have check plans for cold stress damage. I mean, we can see in the image, the top left, there is a highly cold tolerant maverick alfalfa cultivar, and the bottom right, right in, there's a UC1465, the very cold susceptible alfalfa. So we use this skin to phenotype our plants cold hardiness. So for genotyping, here is the overall workflow. For genotyping, we develop genotyping by sequencing library to our populations. Actually, we use only a single digestion enzyme APKI for library construction, and we have a sequencing facility in Georgia Genomic Facility. We did NextSeq sequencing with 75 base pairing Illumina sequencing platform, and the reads quality were checked in fast QC. So for de novo SNP calling, we got a lot of usable reads, like that's more than it's over 1,000 millions. But because of the for the pairing, we don't have easily accessible pipelines, and I use only the R1 reads that were very high quality, and we process the reads in TASL unique pipeline, and we got a HapMap output, and those markers were filtered in Microsoft Excel using chi-square statistics, and the linkage map were constructed in using join map version 4.1 using only single dose marker that were segregated in 1:1 ratio. And for the future, we have to assign those markers in all homologues of alfalfa, and we have to map QTL for both fall dormancy and cold hardiness. So since we use a pseudo test cross for the mapping population, we constructed a linkage map for both female and male parents. Here is the linkage map, eight linkage groups for the female parents, 30-10. It looks pretty dense, and I think it is one of the dense linkage map published so far, and it has density of like a marker per 1.34 centimorgans. And there is a linkage map for male parents CW1010. It seems there are certain some gaps, but still it is representing the whole genome. And it has a marker density of 1.9 centimorgan. So with that, in a nutshell, alfalfa is the most widely grown forage legume in the world and United States. And there is a significant loss is occurring due to the fall dormancy and cold stress damage. We use genotyping by sequencing method for generating SNPs in alfalfa, which was pretty effective. And the linkage map constructed here are dense and will be used for QTL mapping and other genomic analysis in future. With that, finally, I would like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Ali Misawi, our forage breeding and genetic lab, my lab technician colleagues, and our department, Institute of Plant Breeding, Genetics, and Genomics, and funding agency, UGA CRDP. With that, thank you everyone for listening. And if you have any comment, questions, love to answer.
We have time for a question. You said alfalfa genome sequence isn't there, so you use other legumes?
I will use Medigago truncatula. I haven't used so far. So far, I only made a linkage mapping, I mean, draft linkage maps. And I only assigned the eight groups because we have like basic chromosome number eight. Probably I will use Medigago truncatula physical map to assign the which group is which chromosomes and blah blah. I mean further analysis. And with Medigago truncatula is very close relative of alfalfa. Yeah. Second. Safe. Safe or worst? I could not get your question. Can you repeat again? Right. If you are talking like a regression mapping method or likelihood, I use a regression mapping method and Kosambi mapping functions. That normally people do in zone map nowadays, but. Host map? Actually, I don't have an idea.
With other methods, you can get that to be more reliable on image mapping, so that mm-hmm. we can get a dense map to use for image mapping.
Probably.
Just for the benefit of the audience, can you elaborate what the cost?
Cost per what?
Yeah, per sample.
Per GBS?
For the GBS.
Well, per sample, I think per chemical it costs like for barcodes and those things I paid $3,000 for I did two plates of GBS library, and for sequencing I paid it was next week and I paid like almost $2,800 per plate, so I did two plates, so it costs little but it's still I think it's cheaper than what we do with other agencies.
Thank you again.